Thank you for joining us this morning. If you would stand, we'll continue with our song service. Romans chapter 12, verse number 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Brother Tom, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Hymn number 419, Sound the Battle Cry.
Ready, steady.
would stand and take your hymn books once again. Turn over to hymn number 166, I Will Praise Him. Number 166, standing as we sing.
When Adam saw his wife sin in the garden, in the distance, God saw a cross. When Cain killed his brother, God was watching, and God saw a cross. When Moses slew the Egyptian man in anger, God saw a cross. And when David chose Bathsheba over honor, God knew there had to be a cross. God saw a cross being raised on the
the horizon, God saw His Son being slain for one and all. God saw His blood being shed for our redemption, for every fall. God saw a cross.
When I was born, the world just saw a sinner. Thanks to Jesus, God saw a cross. And when I first rejected His great offer, I'm so thankful God still saw a cross. And with each wicked choice I walked in darkness, my God saw. By my sin, my soul was helpless. With eyes of mercy, God still saw the cross. God saw the cross being raised on the horizon. God saw His Son being slain for one and
I saw a cross.
When God sees me, He only sees the cross. God sees a cross
that was raised on the horizon. God sees His Son. Shed for my redemption, for every fall, God sees a cross. God sees a cross.
And if you would stand once again, we'll turn to hymn number 119, Till the Storm Passes By, hymn 119.
Oh, heart. I will give you perfect peace. In this time of trial, the pain that no one sees, trust me.
Side, and you'll never walk alone. Keep your eyes on me, and you'll never be in need. Though this life is hard, know that I will always give you perfect peace.
You would take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. I'm going to preach on five wonderful provisions from God. And it's good to know that we have a God that loves and cares for us. And he will provide all of our needs. We're going to begin in Isaiah 41, verse number 10. You find that, if you can, stand with us in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read just four verses here, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 10. Fear thou not. I think it would be good if that was all in big, bold letters with exclamation points. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are licensed against thee shall be ashamed, or incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Lord, we're here today, and we thank you for your many blessings to us. As we hold your word in our hands, and as we have read here this morning, our hearts and our minds turn to the fact that you love your people and you care for them greatly. God, it is good to know that as we walk through this life here upon this earth, that many hard and difficult things are going to come our way, but you are there to help us to meet those needs. Lord, I pray that you would take the message today and use it for your honor and your glory. We pray and ask for a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. And Lord, if there be some here that have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, might this be the day that they'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the truth of your word. Reveal all there is for us to know today. We ask these things in your wonderful and most precious name. And all the people said, Amen. You may be seated. And so we face life, and life is difficult, and life is hard, and we face many obstacles in our life. If you can live life without ever having a problem, without ever having an issue, without ever having a trial, then you're a greater person than I am. All I know is that life seems to be one decision after another, and then one trial after another, and there can be many issues that we face in this lifetime. And so as we think about the scripture here today, I want us to be mindful of those first three words, fear thou not. As we walk through this life, we need not fear what comes our way. So we've got 5 points here today. The first one is his presence, his presence. And the first phrase there is, fear thou not, for I am with thee. The first thing that stood out to me as I was reading through this portion of scripture is where it says, for I am with thee. You'll remember as Moses goes before God, and God is telling Moses, I want you to go and I want you to lead my people out of Israel. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And he says, tell them that I am have sent you. And I am the great God, the awesome God throughout all of eternity, the great creator God. He is the great I am. And he's telling his people here, look, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, he's with you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know him as your Savior, he's still with you, but you're not in touch with him. It's a spiritual connection that you need to make to God. You need to know him and to know of him. And so as we go through this life, God is there. He is ever present, and he's watching as we live our life. And we have to come to a point where we say, I need God in my life. I cannot face the issues I'm going through, the problems I'm facing. I cannot do this on my own. I need his presence in my life. So how do we get his presence in our life? Well, it's quite simple, and I'm glad that it's simple because I'm a simple guy. It is a simple way to get God's presence into our life is to ask him to be our Lord and Savior, to ask him to forgive us of our sins, to come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior. And Lord has promised us that he'll then never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there by our side. Now, I know, as we think about this just a little bit, you might say, well, preacher, there's been times I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. But there's been times that I've faced difficulties and problems, and I've had hardships in my life. Maybe you've lost a loved one, or you've had a medical issue or a financial setback. And you may say, you know, I know that I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But when I went through this difficult time, I didn't sense the presence of God. And my first question would be to you, where were you in your relationship to God? You know, some people, they get saved and they're kind of using it like a membership to a gym. Think about that just a little bit, like a membership to a gym. Now, we do have some diehard gym guys in our church, and I'm thankful for that. But you can tell that a gym membership would be kind of wasted on me. I've had one before. Thought I was going to get off to a great start. Signed up for the gym. Went about a week and a half. Something came up. I got distracted. And after I've paid for it like 4 months and never gone, I'm finally like, can we just stop this? Time out. Can I have my money back? You know, because... But some people treat God like a gym membership. Oh, well, it's convenient for me, so I'm going to walk with God. It's convenient for me, so I'm going to go to church. It's convenient for me, so I'm going to allow God to be involved in my life. I'm going to talk about God, and He's so great, and He's so awesome. And then life kind of gets by. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves out of touch with God. We can find that it's maybe been a week or two since we've read our Bible. Maybe it's been a week or two that we've actually really prayed and sought God's face and wanted Him to lead and guide in our life. Listen, don't treat God like a gym membership. God needs to be treated as He's the number one person in your life. God ought to be the number one in your life. Listen, we cannot take another step. We cannot take another breath. We cannot make another wise decision without the leadership of God in all that we do. If you find yourself in a situation and an issue and a problem, you go, God just doesn't seem to be here, then probably what you need to do is you need to get on your face and say, God, I need You again afresh in my life. I need a fresh relationship with You. I need to be stirred again. I need You to be a vital part of my life again. So don't treat God like a gym membership. Now remember this, His presence is always with us. So it could be that we stray from Him, but He's never going to stray from us. And so we want that personal relationship. We want to keep it very real, and His presence is always there. When His presence is there, we need not fear what the day brings. We need not fear what the day brings. You lose a loved one. Boy, it's one of the most traumatic events, I think, that a person can encounter. Losing a loved one, having a loved one leave this earth, it can be very hard and difficult. But there's such peace that comes when we know that that person was saved, when we know they're in heaven. It'll bring such peace and joy to know, yeah, I'm going to miss them at the get-together times, you know, Christmas and maybe birthday and maybe 4th of July, whenever we get together as family. I'm going to miss them not being there. And I'm going to miss them when I walk into the house where they used to live, and I'm going to see them everywhere, but they're not going to be there. I'm going to miss that. But it's so good to know that they're in heaven. It's so good to have the peace of God in our heart, to know that this life that we're living now is a very fragile thing, and it will soon be over. Now, I know these teens sitting here on these front rows, they think, man, it's going to take forever to get to be old. And one day you're going to be old and you're going to go, how did it happen so fast? How did I get here? Look at Brother Foster. How did he get to be a grandpa? I mean, I know the physiological how it happened. But I'm like, he was like just a young guy when he came here. Just a young guy. They're still having kids and all that kind of stuff. How'd that happen? I remember when Zach Hornick walked in here one day and started coming, you know, as a single guy. And next thing you know, he brings this redhead in. And then they get married. Now they got two little ones following them around. How does that happen? You know, it happens like that. Just that fast. You may look in the mirror and go, man, you know, as a young person, you look in the mirror and you're worried about every hair being out of place. And then like 30 years down the road, you're kind of like moving hair over to kind of cover some of those places, right? Life happens quickly. Listen, as quickly as life happens, please don't try to do it yourself. Realize His presence is there. God says, I am with thee. I'm going to go with you. The best thing we can do is seek God to lead us through life. Amen. God, lead me. I'm not smart enough to journey my own life. I'm not smart enough to pick my own path. Okay, confession time, all right? So whenever we go anywhere of any, you know, length of time, like we go out to our mom and dad's place, first thing I do is take out my phone and I go to Maps and I type in where I'm going. Now I do that because I get distracted. But I really do it because when I'm flying down the highway and I meet the highway patrolman, I can see the little speed limit sign. I can look down at my speed limit and go, whew, thank goodness. Not that I need it to go places I've been before, but if I'm going someplace I've never been, you can bet this baby's on, okay? My wife, she was, her dad and her had this deal where they thought it was such a great adventure to wander around, you know, being lost. I find no adventure in that at all. I'm an A to B guy. I'm here. I need to go there. I don't want to waste any time doing it, and I want to get there. Get it done. Get back home. Amen? Yeah, that will preach. Thank you very much. It's amazing how many Christians live their life like they're just kind of wandering through. Hey, this is kind of nice. I'm just kind of wandering through life. You know, there's a point to our living. There's a point to our living. Our life is so short that if we don't set some goals and some directions and some points, we're going to have just kind of wandered through life and wasted it. So the presence of God is there. He's to help guide us. He's to help lead us. He is to be our protector. We need not fear what the day holds when we're walking with God. The second thing that we're going to look at today is His person. His person. The second phrase there is, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I love that word dismayed there. We need not be fearful. We need not be caught off guard. We need not be, oh my, how did that happen? As we live through life, we realize that God is God and He is in charge and that He is the one who leads and guides in our life. And so we can trust Him. We can follow Him. Our attitude ought to be that with God, all things are possible. He has all power and He loves us. Please, Christian friend, don't fail to remember how much God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I think if we could ever grasp that, you know, for the last 15 years, it's been one of those things in my life that is just kind of gnawed at me. If I could ever grasp how much God really loves me, I think it'd change the way I live. I think it'd change my actions and my attitudes and my mouth. And everything about me would be changed, my thinking process and everything else, if I could ever totally grasp how much He loves me. He loves you just the same way. Loves you the same way. Many times I've quoted the verse, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't comprehend it. I don't grasp it. It's still unbelievable to me that a great and awesome God, creator of the universe, would love me while I was a sinner headed to hell. He loved me and He cared about me and He wanted to see me saved. What a wonderful blessing. The third thing for us to consider today is His power. His power. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. God gives us power when we need it. He gives us power when we need it. There's times in life that we may go, I just don't know that I can take another step. Listen, when you don't feel you can take another step, draw strength from Him. Say, God, I can't do this. I can't take another step. But God, with Your help, I can. We've got some teenagers going to be graduating high school, hopefully, here in a couple of months. And they're going to come to probably points in their life that they're going to say, I don't know which way to go. Or I don't know if I can do this. You know, leaving home for the first time, maybe to go out to school, might say, I don't know if I can do this. Some, on the other hand, are probably saying, I can't wait to get out of the house. It's going to be so exciting. But they're going to find out when they get out there that I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can handle this. Well, guess what? Draw your strength from God. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your power. One of the natural places I see this a lot in my life is when it comes to witnessing for Christ to lost people. Because I'm like, they don't want to hear it. They don't want me to give them a track. You know, they just look at the way they look at me. Just the encounter. I just know this is going to be a very negative thing. And I, a lot of times I'll stop and say, God, I can't do this, but I know you can. You said if I'd open my mouth, you'd fill it. God, I want to be used as a tool of yours. So God, you just fill my mouth. You take over here. You help me to call memory those things I need to say. God, you help me to do this because I know it's right and it's something you want me to do. Tell others about Jesus. It always amazes me how receptive people are to hear about Jesus. Now, are they all receptive? No, I'm not that crazy to think that all people want to hear about Jesus. But it's amazing how many people will listen to you, talk about Jesus, and even be receptive to you telling them about Jesus. And then there's always the one that I tend to think is probably going to be the biggest pain, usually turns out to be the biggest complimenter. Oh man, I'm glad you're out doing this. More people need to know about Jesus. So a couple of years ago, we were doing block work, and we were over here in Gray Oaks, kind of a fancy, fancy spot in Shawnee. The homes start like $500,000 and go up. We're going through there, handing out tracts, and I come up, this guy's out in his driveway, and he's got an older Chevelle sitting in the garage. It's about a 67, 66. And so as I walk up, and it's slicked out, as I walk up, I just say, hey, I really like your car, man. That is pretty awesome. So we kind of do talk about the car thing. And while I'm there, I pull out a track and said, so I'm going through the neighborhood here inviting people to church. I don't know if you have a church, but I'd like to invite you to church. And, you know, he said, yeah, we've got a church. He took the track. We talked about the car and another 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes. And I walked away. Now, about 3 years ago, so that must have been 4 or 5 years ago, time is funny when you get older. Isn't it weird? So anyhow, a couple of years after that, probably about 3 years ago, I'm at McDonald's one day with my wife. We're going to have a biscuit and just, you know, visit a little bit. And this guy comes walking up to our table. And he goes, hey, I don't know if you remember me. And it's kind of amazing. Sometimes God helps me remember just features about people. And I'm like, yeah, I recognize you. I say, you live over here in Gray Oaks, and you got a Chevelle. He goes, yeah. He goes, you came by on a Saturday, and you talked to me about the Lord and had a track for me. I said, yeah, yeah. And so we get to visit, and his wife had just passed away. And visited with him about, you know, the hope of salvation. He claims to be saved, claimed he was saved down south in a Southern Baptist church years ago, and we talked about the Lord, and I don't know how many times we've seen him since then. He always comes over and speaks to us, and I'm just thinking, you know, that's a extra reward from God. If I just kept my mouth shut that day and walked on by and looked for a place that maybe I could put a track that I didn't have to deal with anyone one-on-one, I would have missed one of the great blessings of this encounter that I have continually with this guy every time I see him. And so rely upon his strength, his power. When you feel the greatest pressures of life, turn to Jesus. Our hope and our help is in him. He carries us when we're weighed down. When we face insurmountable obstacles, God is there to be our help. So the fourth thing we see today is his proficiency. His proficiency. The verse goes on and says, I will help thee. Man, I like that. That's a promise from God. It's not like, you know, visiting with a friend of mine. I say, hey, I've got a truckload of gravel I need to shovel. And they'll go, oh, I'll help you do that. And you go, okay, so when can you come over? Well, you give me a call whenever you get ready to do it. You call, and they're busy or distracted or whatever. They never answer. But God, when he makes a promise, he's there to help. When God makes a promise and we turn to him, we say, God, I have this problem. I have this issue. God says, I'll be there. I'll help you. I'll help you through those difficult times. I'll help you through those hard places. I'll help you, whatever the situation or the problem you're having. I'll be there. God is there no matter what hinders us in this life. Our God still loves us and cares for us, and he will help us in our time of need. You know the great thing about God? He never sleeps. Amen. Now, I don't know how that happens. Most of you know, 10 o'clock, I'm looking for a place to go prone. I like to, whoop, be gone. I like to get out, get my sleep. I like 8 to 10 hours if I can get 10. Usually I get 7. But if I can get somewhere in that range, that's good. And by the way, they say it's very healthy for you. And so, but God never sleeps. God is always there. He's available 24/7. Isn't that good? So he can help us no matter what time of day it is. If we have a difficulty in the middle of the night, God is there. If we have it in the middle of the day, he's there. He is always there. By the way, he never fails. Now, he might fail according to what you think might happen, but God's way is always perfect. God's way is always perfect. In Psalms 121 and verse number 2, we read, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." I love this verse. This verse is a great verse. Psalms 121:2. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." So this isn't like a startup company. This isn't like some young guy who's got all this energy and then all of a sudden he's worn out. No, what he's saying is, look, I made heaven and I made the earth, and I'm going to be there to help you. Whatever your problem, whatever your issue, whatever the trial you're going through, I'm there to help you. And he backs it up with his credentials. I made heaven, I made earth. The fifth thing is his preservation. His preservation. I will uphold thee. I will uphold thee. We need to be persistent as we seek to walk with God. Listen, there's a lot of Christians that are, let's say it this way. There's a lot of people who claim to be a Christian, but they never really seek to walk with God or know God or really be a part of God. They never really seek to have that interaction with God. I just want to say, we need to be persistent. We need to say, you know what? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I want to walk with God. I want God to lead in my life. I want him to direct my path. I want to persistently seek him. I want to love him. I want to pray to him. I want him to lead in my life. I want to be steadfast in my walk with God. I want to be steadfast in my love for him. Why? Because he says, I will uphold thee. He's not going to drop us. He's always going to have us in his hand. He's going to watch over us. He's going to take care of us. He will uphold us. Five wonderful provisions from God. Look at verse 11 now. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee. Okay, so we've had all these promises now. Here's what comes through in verse number 11. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and you're not going to be able to find them. It says, and they shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that warred against thee, shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Why? Because our great and awesome God has made promises to us. As we seek to walk with him, he'll be there to provide on our behalf. He ends in verses 13 here and 14. He says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Verse 14, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Twice in those two verses, we get the promise, "I will help thee." What are you facing in life? How difficult does it seem? I know we've got a couple of young men sitting in here today. They're getting ready to get married. March is going to be their wedding day. And they're all excited about it. They don't even know they ought to be scared to death. They're going to find out, though, aren't they? Huh? Yeah, that's right. School's just beginning. I'm telling both of you, God says, "I will help thee." Because she's going to start off remaking you right off the bat, okay? She may already be remaking you. You don't even know it. But you, two young men, you've got a great responsibility. That is, you're going to be the spiritual leader of your home. No matter which way they might try to pull, you need to remember you're going to answer to God for that. You will give an account of how you lead your home. Don't let this world pull you away from God. You've got to be solid. You've got to be rock solid for those girls. When the emotions kick in, the issues come, you need to be rock solid and say, "Listen, God's promised. He'll be our help. He'll be our provision. He'll take care of us. He will help us. Turn to Him." Lord Jesus, I love you today. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you for your word. It's help in our life as Christians as we seek to walk with you and love you and to know you. I pray to God that you would just take this invitation, that you would use it for your honor and your glory, that your will might be done in each one of our lives and each one of our hearts. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Take this invitation, use it for your glory. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand with us today? I'm going to sing Cleanse Me. If God's spoken to your heart, encourage you to come, whatever your need. Brother Steve leads us this song.
Search me.
Brother Aaron, come with our announcements.
Quickly from your bulletin, upcoming events, we have Brown Bag today. So we'll meet back here at 1:30 this afternoon. Couples retreat at the end of the week. So just be ready for that. We have a wedding shower coming up February 22nd for Morgan Lee Master. and this will be here at the church. Patch program, February 27th, and missions conference, first Wednesday through Sunday in March. We're looking forward to that. And then Financial Peace University, this is a Dave Ramsey course if you're interested in that. That'll run March 24th through May 19th. There's a sheet on the back table if you're interested in that. And from the prayer area, remember Brother Paul Medlin. He had a procedure this week, so as he recovers from that, and then Brother Tom Kohler and his upcoming chemo. Thank you. Word skipped my mind. She'll be praying for them for sure, and that God would touch them. And all right, let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we are very thankful to be here today. Lord, I do believe and feel that you showed yourself today. And Lord, I pray that as we go our different ways this afternoon, that you would watch over us. And Lord, bring us back together at 1:30. And Lord, those in our prayer area, Lord, you know each and every detail of each life. And we just pray that you would place your hand upon each one, and that you would comfort them that need comforting, that you would provide healing to those that need it. And Lord, we're just thankful. Thankful for you and what you've done, and we'll continue to give you the praise and glory for all that you've done and continue to do, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.